Hello and welcome. This is Dr. Rita Marie Lascalzo, and we're here for our Insulin Resistant Solution Practitioner Training Coaching Call. And I'm excited to be here to answer your questions, see where you're at. I'd love to know where you're at, what your understanding is. I'd also like to know and hear from you if you've got a person that you're guiding through the Before Begone program or just guiding them through your own insulin resistance blood sugar balancing program, how that's going, and if you have questions on that. So just as an update, we've now got all but the module on implementation up. And the last module, which is marketing, but all the content. The next module to go up is going to be the whole thing about the 30-day reset and how you guide people through it and what to look for and then how you guide people out of it. I spoke to Stacy today. She's still working on it and getting, you know, some of the things set up on the site. And we're hoping that it's ready by tomorrow or at minimum latest on Monday. So that should be ready soon. I wanted it to be done before you start to guide people through the metabolic reset, which actually starts on February 1. So that should be there. But in the meantime, it's interesting. Usually I get behind on getting my modules finished, and they get them up as soon as it's done. But I just, like, over Christmas break, finished up, like, three of the modules, and it's been slowly because they had to get video edited and the slides had to get edited and all kinds of things had to happen. So my part's done, and they'll be posted, and all of them are right now except for that module. So let's see. If you hit on blood sugar and then you go to, let me see, the newest one this week was the timing one. Sleep was done last week. And then the implementation should be done hopefully tomorrow, if not on Monday. So just so you know, in case the email hasn't come out to tell you that, that one is ready. Okay. I'm going to open up the support tab for insulin resistance. There we go. And see if there's any questions that have been typed in. And then as soon as I get the ones that have been typed in, I'll go ahead and we'll start on the questions for you guys on the call. So I'm not sure if I answered this one, but it's a good question, so I'll go ahead and answer it anyway. Maria asks about the eating within an hour after getting – oh, no, she did ask this. Some people wake up but don't get up, especially the older they get. How does cortisol and eating protein in relationship work in those cases? I say for those people, they need their rest and let them stay in bed, and once they get up, then they can have their protein. And if they've been laying in bed for a while, just have them have their breakfast right away when they get up. We're not going to be able to always follow all the timing rules and all the rules in general 100% because we are, after all, human, and things happen and timing things happen and schedules get disrupted and some of them conflict. Like if you like to exercise in the morning, then it may be a challenge to actually eat the protein within an hour of getting up because you may have exercised for an hour and you're going to wait. So there's a lot of that stuff, and you just, for each person, you play it out and see what makes sense. A lot of people ask me, well, which is more important, this or that? I said, it depends on the person, right? And when you have your glucose meter and you're teaching people how to use the glucose meter, you can test. You can say, which way do they do better? Do they do better if they have their breakfast right away with protein? How much carbohydrate can they get away with at each meal and still maintain steady blood sugar? And those are the things we're going to look at after we've taken them through a strict period of metabolic reset. Okay, so that's all I really have to say at this point, and I just want to hear from you. Just raise your hand, start two, that'll raise your hand and let me know what's going on. Have you been able to do this with some people, and how's it going? What kind of questions do you have? What kind of cases do you have? I'd love to hear from you, especially those of you I haven't heard from in a while. So star two to raise your hand, and then on the Q&A, I'm going to open up the chat as well. I think I have to put my name in again, even though we had a chat going earlier. You guys are probably already ahead of me. And on the chat, as much as I try to keep up and I like to see the conversation, sometimes what happens is that you guys are typing in faster than I can read, and the screen, there's a limited space to the screen, and it flips away. And then I can't really see it, so I have to keep going backwards. So Lynn is usually on, and she helps with monitoring that. And if there's any major questions that come up that I'm not seeing that you think I need to answer, please, please, please just get, Lynn, either get on the line or go into the Q&A part, which is static, but only one way. So I wish these guys would, you know, kind of come up with a way that we could do it both ways. But either way, I love having the chat, so I'm so glad that they added that feature because it allows us to communicate and it allows Lynn to hear me mention something and then type the links in. She's so good about that. So, all right, we already have a hand up. We have Christine.
Hi, Christine. Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. Hi. So I was wondering if you could, I was hunting around for it because I have some pain in my left side, like right around where my kidney is. And I thought, you know, I wanted to redo the adrenal stress test.
Yeah.
And if you would say, you know, where to find your link to the testing.
Sure.
With direct.
Sure. You need to log in to the Vibrant Living Members site, which is the sister site to the INE site, where this is housed. That's more for the consumer products. And it's vibrantlivingmembers.com/lab testing.
Okay.
Okay, but before you do that, make sure you log in over there. So you'll have to just go to vibrantlivingmembers.com, log in, and then put that link in. There's no, like, link in a common place to the lab testing because not all programs include it. I mean, everybody can get access to it if I give it to them, but I don't have, like, an open link. Like, here, go here to order my lab order your lab tests because not everybody in there is entitled to being able to do that. But that's how you could do it, yeah.
So I'm just realizing basically to be more prudent about the stuff that I'm eating, you know.
Yeah.
You really, one other thing, I noticed that the cold foods kind of in the winter don't seem, it seems like I want more warm foods, warming.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's kind of how I'm feeling about this winter because I suffered with a terrible cold.
Yeah.
That kind of longer than any cold I've ever had.
Sheesh.
And I wonder if insulin resistance kind of, you know, it plays a role in people having colds that last longer.
Oh, absolutely. It affects the immune system. So there's two things I want to interject. One, I want to go back to your kidney pain or your pain in that area. You want to make sure it's not a kidney infection. So I would get, urine test done. You can buy your own strips at the medical supply stores or online at Amazon, just little urine strips, and just test it and make sure that you don't have leukocytes or nitrates in your blood, in your urine or protein, which would indicate.
Okay, what kind of strips are there? They're urine strips?
They're urine strips. They're like a panel strip. Lynn might be able to look it up on Amazon, but you can buy them on Amazon. Usually, it used to be you could only buy them in medical supply places, but it's a urine strip, and you can dip it in your urine, and you could see, you know, do you have protein in your urine? Do you have leukocytes? Do you have nitrates? And typically, if you go to a doctor to get a test like that, you're going to have to pay for an office visit, and you're going to have to, you know, pay them for the test, whereas you can generally do it on your own.
Okay. And so it'll have, like, a little thing in there so that what different colors mean different things.
Yeah, different colors mean different things. And they have the panels right on the label, and it'll tell you. You have to know, though, I mean, if you don't know, because most people that buy them are doctors, so they know, but that the things that would be indicative of a possible kidney infection or bladder infection or something or even a stone would be protein, leukocytes, and nitrates.
Okay.
If you just have the leukocytes and nitrates, it's possibly a bladder infection. When you get into protein, it's more kidney. So it's one of the differentiating factors. None of this is absolute, but if you have any of those three in there, then you want to make sure that you're dealing with that you have a potential urinary tract infection because that's what could cause pain there too.
Right. And it's not like a sharp pain or anything, but I thought like a year or two ago when I first did that, dealing with sleep and nourishing the adrenals.
Right.
And all, you know, right. Actually thought that I did really good with that because all that stuff went away.
All of it went away. Yeah, it could very well be that. So I just want to make sure that you know that you don't want to, you want to overlook that.
It actually came back, and but it's different. So, yeah, I'm not thinking it's the same thing. I'm thinking it's,
okay.
Yeah.
And if you ever, if you develop a fever, for sure, you really want to rule out that it's not a kidney infection.
Well, I still have cold a little bit. I still can tell that I have a bit of infection in my lungs. I just feel like with all the stress that I had in 3 years, that I'm basically run down and I'm kind of flat.
Yeah. So build up your immune system. Keep your blood sugar steady because high sugar is going to feed whatever's growing in you and deplete your immune system. Get on some immune support herbs. You probably know a lot about that. And going back, I wanted to also comment about your comment about the cold versus warm. And it really teaches us that we need to not be dogmatic in our approach to working with people and diet, right? We could say, yes, all raw, all vegan is the best way to go. And in the wintertime, some people get really cold. When you get constitutionally cold, you're going to be much more prone to infections. So you really want to keep that up. Now, there are ways that you can still eat a lot of the fresh, raw foods that are loaded with nutrition and not make them be cold to your body. And one way is just like make green soups or smoothies and slightly warm them, putting warming herbs in there, using hot water instead of cold water when you're making them, or lightly steaming your stuff and making these amazing soups. And one of my favorite things to do in the wintertime is to take some usually cruciferous vegetables with zucchini is what I like, and heat them, steam them up lightly, stick them in the blender with the water and some ginger and other kind of garlic and other kind of immune support stuff. Just blend them in, and it fills you. I literally have to take my sweater off. I sit inside when it's cold out with this little fleece jacket on, and as soon as I drink that, I just have to strip because it warms me up from the inside out. So those are some things to look at. And don't feel like from a standpoint, oh, I got to eat my raw stuff, I eat my salads and stuff. Yeah, you do, but you got to tune into your body too, because our bodies tell us, right? Exactly what we need. Okay? And even if I was going to say, except when we're craving Twinkies. But even if you're craving Twinkies, you would want to stop. If it comes out of the blue that you're craving some kind of weird food that's not good for you, I'm not telling you to go eat it, but listen to your cravings and ask what it's telling you. It's telling you you need something. It may be an emotional thing that you need some sweetness in your life. It may be from a physical thing, like if you're craving chocolate and maybe magnesium or some tryptophan or some other things like that. So just tune into what your body is telling you.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay? And that's the same thing to teach your clients, too. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. Super. I love the way the questions go. It just kind of takes us down different paths, and we get to explore all kinds of great stuff as a result of the questions. So, love it. So, Maria.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I walking one of my clients through the before be gone, and before we started, she was having a lot of colon issues, and she just started having diarrhea again, and I told her to stop the magnesium immediately because that will just make it worse. But I was wondering, what is your recommendation in her case? For her and this, if there is anything else. I immediately told her to kind of add natural probiotics, even the goat kefir and fermented sauerkraut and things like that. And she said that she's feeling a little better today. She was taking a probiotic before, and I told her to add it back. She had stopped, and I said to add it back.
Okay.
But,
So I'm just going to take you through a thought process because you guys as practitioners, right, you're going to get people who say, blah, 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 I started your Before Be Gone program, and now I have diarrhea. What should I do?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that because of the process. I'm saying she already has some baggage basically, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that is the process. She's not even blaming either. I'm just seeking, I guess, your assistance here, your thoughts.
Oh, totally, totally.
And
that's what I'm hearing. I'm not criticizing your approach or anything. I'm just saying that that's the kind of thing where you really want to look at. So they started a program and some symptoms got worse again or changed. It's like looking at, okay, where were they here? What did they do differently? But you just said a couple of things, and this is where it's very important to do good questioning with people. You said that she used to have it, and then she, since she got on the program, she had it worse. It got worse again, and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe, you said it before I could even say it was the magnesium. You have to watch for magnesium. She may be taking too much magnesium, right, because that could throw people over into bowel tolerance. I would generally take her off the magnesium completely and then
titrate her back.
Yeah.
Okay,
good.
That's what I did. Okay, great.
Good. Perfect. You're right. You're thinking right. But then in terms of the other, you threw in, like, oh, she was on probiotics before, and now she's not, and she stopped it when she started the program. So just stopping the probiotics, so you're on the right thinking track with that. But always those are good things to ask people. Like, if they start a program, what were they doing before? You want to know this before you put them on anything, exactly what they were doing. And then you want to compare.
Yep.
And when symptoms come up that are maybe seemingly unrelated to the program, like if we're balancing blood sugar versus we're putting them on a candida supplement, right, you would expect sometimes if you add probiotics or change something that's gut-related that they might get some, you know, die-off or something like that. But it's really important to just, because people won't always tell you the whole story. And that's why I wanted to use this as an example. Like, people won't always tell you the whole story, and that's when asking all the questions. What else did you do different? You know, sometimes it's like, oh, I ran out of my filtered water and I've been using tap water. Or, you know, there can be silly little things like that that they don't think are important, but we know better, right?
Right?
So I'm just using you as an example for the importance of very accurate questioning, right? Because we can be going down a totally wrong track and they may have an accidental gluten, or they were making a peanut butter sandwich for their daughter and they accidentally put their fingers to their mouth or something.
Right.
You know, there's so many little things, and it's really, we are detectives, and we really have to play that role of really just asking lots and lots of questions to find out, you know, what's going on. So I just wanted to use that. But, yeah, I think you're on the right track, totally thinking about the magnesium. I would go completely off of it, get her back on whatever probiotics she was doing before, if that seemed to have been working for her. And
let me ask you, sorry to interrupt. So is that okay? I mean, she's having natural probiotics from food. So I asked her to add. I guess it's okay in this phase to start, you know, for her to add back the probiotic and pill, whatever she was taking, right? It's not going to do any harm. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, if she was taking it before and was doing well with it, why would it do harm?
So here's the deal. you know, she was taking, she decided to stop, you know, because on her own, right? Because she was starting this, this process. But reality is, I don't think she could tell there was doing any good for her, because she was still with symptoms of, you know, constipation. She's got all the symptoms of gut inflammation. I mean, it's a little messy over there.
Yeah.
So, so it's okay. I mean, I you know, I think she was just like, oh, I'm taking all this stuff. And I said, no, you know, we're going to focus on doing this protocol. And the probiotics, there is no harm whatsoever to take it. So,
We need them on a regular basis, you know. So, yeah, and that's a good thing to explain to people. Like, there's certain gut hygiene, right, that we need to have in place. And when you add some of these things in, people will say, well, I took that and it didn't do any good. Well, how long did you take it? Oh, like a week or 10 days.
Yeah.
Well, we're not taking drugs that have an effect. Like, they're not having a symptom suppression result, right? They're not cutting off a neural pathway so that you don't feel the pain anymore. They're doing balancing, and balancing takes time. And sometimes people have like immediate, like great reaction to stuff, but a lot of it's building up and they don't notice, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you stop taking all vitamin, you know, all foods that had vitamin C in it, you wouldn't notice right away until you started to, like, your body started to deteriorate, right? Your collagen started to fall apart and all this stuff. So it's like these are known things that support our body that we need. And we all need to recolonize our gut on a regular basis. In the olden days, we did this all the time. Like, we ate food without cleaning it. So we had bugs getting at us that could grow and create this great environment. And We didn't sterilize everything, and we didn't have antibiotics in the meat supply. And there's all these things that people do that disrupt the gut, whereas in the, you know, times gone by, we just did it naturally.
Yeah, perfect. Okay.
Okay? So, yeah, so you sell, it's either do it with food or supplement, right? A lot of people go, I don't want to eat sauerkraut, I don't want to eat kefir, I don't want to eat
right.
whatever the other. So, great, there's supplements, and you can take it that way.
Anything else you would recommend for her case? Or you know, I'm suggesting a lot of rest, you know, and she's doing that. And
yeah, I don't know enough about her case to know what I would recommend or not recommend. If she's had ongoing gut issues, there's some things you want to do to make sure that she's eating in a comfortable environment, like all the stuff. We just got off a call with the GRAND program, the gut repair program, and we have this whole set of things like, yeah, people want to take what fancy this herb and what fancy that and whatever, but, you know, if you don't do the basics, like calm yourself and switch from parasympathetic to sympathetic to parasympathetic before the meal and chew the food thoroughly and just eat in a relaxed environment. And if you're eating processed food, get rid of it and get rid of the allergens. And that crosses both programs. And, you know, making sure that she's doing all those things that majority of people don't do.
Yeah, no, she's trying her best, yes. Yeah,
good.
I'm keeping, at least giving her guidance on the food to take all the, you know, slowly we're removing all the inflammatory food so she's ready for
it's
the
being
first.
Patient.
And,
being patient mm-hmm. with it. Yeah, and sometimes you get, the bowels will respond. They'll get more constipated, less constipated, more diarrhea. It just says, oh, we're changing something. Something's changing.
Yes.
And in this case, magnesium seems like a big culprit just because you added the magnesium as a B4 supplement.
It could be, or it could be, again, right, what was going on from before.
Right.
So
exactly.
I'm not going to blame the magnesium, but we know
but you want to rule it out,
so,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Guilty until proven innocent, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Great, take care. All right, so anybody else? I'm going to look on the web and see, on the Q&A box in the chat to see if there's any questions. But raise your hand, *2. Ask questions, ask away. I'm here for you. And if not, I get to go home early. No, I am home. But Jesse says that the guy who has a few birthday events in February and doesn't want to miss out on traditional family meals and cake. Should I take him through it in February or wait till March to get him to start? Ugh, this is a frustration because people think they're going to go through this program, and then they're going to be able to go back to eating all the birthday stuff and all the crap that people eat at birthday celebrations. And I would say take him through it in February and teach him strategies that he doesn't have to give in and eat crap because he has birthday events to go to, and that his life needs to be about really bringing balance. So I would take him through it in February because he should miss out on the traditional family meals and cake. He needs to miss out on the traditional family meals and cake. And there's ways around it. Give him some recipes from the Before Be Gone book that has some amazing like dessert recipes that he could take in place. And it's a matter of educating. Disease comes from wrongful imbalance in the body. And if a disease is caused by foods that are throwing people off, you've got to change their mindset because they're thinking in an allopathic way that, all I have to do is do this thing and then I'm going to get better and then I go back to whatever it is. So I think making the connection between those foods and his ill health, getting him connected to why he wants to do this program, what's wrong? Does he have diabetes? Does he have gut stuff? Is he overweight? What is his big why? Get him in touch with his big why and say, those family meals are taking you down the path towards more of what you don't want. And delaying it another month, it's always going to be something come up. In March, something else will come up. St. Patrick's Day or, you know, somebody's anniversary or his buddies ask him to go out for beer or whatever. It's always going to be something. And we need to start teaching people how to make choices that are based on what they want the most that restores them into balance. So that's my opinion. I know I'm being hard and mean about it, but that's how I would, that's all. And I'm going to handle it with him. I would handle it with him in a loving way. I would say, this is what those things are doing for you. This is what you want. Let's make some choices. I recommend you take him through it in February and teach him coping strategies. Yeah, that's for sure. Bayari said, I enthusiastically stayed up until 1:30 for the B4 before call and then realized I was 6 hours late. Aw. I'm at work now, 1:45 in the UK, so I'm listening in but missed the beginning. Well, you're here. You only missed a little bit, so I'm glad you're here. You only missed about not even 15 minutes by Ari. Welcome. All right, so hands up. Who do I have? Tony. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Dr. Rita Marie. I am so grateful that you had the conversation with the previous caller because I actually have a meeting tomorrow with one of my clients. I have two or three of them who pay for the blood sugar balancing, and every month there's something different. There's Thanksgiving, there's a birthday, there's an anniversary. This is not a convenient time. And now it's like, well, February 14th is coming up, and I'm like, okay, we're going to have a come-to-Jesus conversation.
You got to have a come-to-Jesus conversation. Totally. And you know how to tell them how to make beautiful, low-glycemic chocolates for Valentine's Day? You know, there's no deprivation on this diet. It really isn't. So,
well, for this particular lady, and I agree with you, it's ritual. You know, my husband and I always go to this place and we always go to that place. And, you know, she did once or twice. I said, well, you can still have a ritual with your husband and you just make different choices. It's all about the person you're with. So now this conversation that we're having now is reminding me to lovingly be a little firm with her and, you know, let her know that I want to earn my money, but if you don't want me to, I'll gladly just spend it and be okay with it. No, I'm kidding. But but I now know how I'm going to approach her because we are, that is my goal always, is to do something for my clients that's sustainable long after they leave me, that they would only come back to me for calibration, that they'd be able to do this on their own. And so I do have to work on changing the mindset. So
absolutely.
I thank you for that reminder. This was
good.
This is what I needed. So thank you very much.
I'm glad. I wasn't too hard, right? I just tried.
Not at all.
Sometimes it's just like, get over it. Let's do it.
No, not at all. I don't, and I think you know me well enough to know, too, that I'll do it in a loving way, but I'm going to have to, you know, kick the bird out of the nest and say, okay, you know, I'm here to help you out, but you got to, you know, try those wings out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here for, because they need accountability and they need the guidance, but, you know, it's not all about, oh, okay, you're going to do that next week. Okay, good, I'll talk to you then. Like, no, it's like really getting at the underlying. Now, she really values connection, right? So a lot of times, I don't know if you've read the love languages, and there's one for the workplace, too, about how people like their appreciation. So there's certain things that people value. Like, she values that quality time with her husband, and she associates quality time with her husband with going to a particular restaurant and eating a particular meal and not having other stuff get in the way. And she, you know, she could be taught to just have the conversation with her husband. I love you, and I want to spend time with you, and I really am working on my health right now, and I'd like to change some of our rituals a little bit just to be this way or that way. So it's really a matter of having a conversation.
Well, I will say this. It's amazing. At some point, she went to a Sunday buffet, and she said she thought about what I said, because I said, just do good, better, best when you go there. Make the best choice you can, but it's always good, better, best. And she said that she was able to make a choice, and she was very happy with it, and it wasn't the best, but she said she kept hearing that. And for some reason, something has happened, and I have to just reconnect her with her goals, her values, and all that. Thank you. This is so helpful. I know I gush all the time, but this has just been the most amazing program for me. I just feel like everything I need on any subject in the world is right at my fingertips, or you know, just pick up the phone, and it just encourages me and inspires me, and I'm just so happy. So thank you.
You're so welcome. And Tony's been, this is the third call Tony's been on with me today, so she must like me or something that she's learning.
A little bit.
Thank you. And the program she's talking about, for those of you who are in NEPT, the Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Training, is what she's gushing about, because we cover everything. You know, you guys in IRSPT are covering the blood sugar, and you see I cover a lot of things even on that regard. But with NEPT, there's no holds barred. We just cover it all. So thank you.
Thank you.
And if for those of you who would like to get in, we did give you guys the opportunity. You get full credit. You'll just get your refund on what you paid for this towards intuition if you want to do it. And just go to neptapply.com and have a conversation with me or Jan or Lynn and you know, see if it's the right thing for you. So thank you. All right. So who else? Any other questions? I'll go to the Q&A and refresh it and see if anybody else has added. Okay, because some people have. By Ari, I'm researching a good seasonal affective disorder. I'm like sad. I usually think of that as a standard American diet, right? Good seasonal affective disorder lamp to get. If you happen to know a good one, I noticed that some of them have contraindications of diabetes, so I'm guessing blood sugar issues maybe need to make sure you get a good quality lamp and not just a cheaper one. Yeah, maybe that they're afraid they do that. They may do that just to CYA, cover their you-know-whats, because you know, if somebody is diabetic and they get too, they won't know that they're getting too close to it. I don't know why you'd be putting your feet in a SAD lamp, but you know, it's kind of a lot of that is insurance wise. But Joel Furman's site had one. That's where I got one. I had gotten one for my son when he was going into the puberty years and needed some some help. And every time he told me, you know, every time it's raining out, I just feel like really depressed. And you know, he'd get grumpy in the winter, and I got him one that he'd use when he was studying. So, yeah, you can try that. I got it at Joel Furman's site. Ghislaine. Hi, Ghislaine. Do you have a resource of the study that says that blood sugar shouldn't go over 110? I did research and haven't seen anything. Is there a link in that study? You know, I used to have – I can't find that. Doctor, there's a whole bunch of stuff that – Bergner, there's a bunch of links that he talks about how they tested all these indigenous cultures, and there's that when you look at those cultures, they never go above 110, and when you look at the studies that show the ranges of glucose tolerance tests, the people at the bottom never go above 100 even. There was another doctor that I just can't find the link to anymore, but I found it, and he was saying he makes sure people don't go above 100. So I don't, you'll have to dig in on the resources under, which ones would it be? On one of the advanced pages, I'm not sure which, we have a whole bunch of resources. And I do mention some of those studies that Bergner did. But the other thing is there's a whole bunch of studies, and those I know for sure out there on the site are where they did studies. If you do this, look up peripheral neuropathy, blood sugar levels, and you'll find a bunch of studies that show that as soon as it goes above 120, they get peripheral neuropathies. And so from my perspective, even if I hadn't heard the other stuff through Paul Bergner and some of the other studies, I would say, well, if it's 120, you're getting peripheral neuropathies. I want to keep them clear of that. I want to give a buffer so that they don't go above 110. So if occasionally they go above the 110, then they're not getting themselves into too much trouble. And then there's other studies that show actually some of the retinal damage happens at 120. And then there were some studies that I have in there. Every time the sugar goes above 100, you're starting to cause damage to the islet cells. So I can't tell you off the top of my head where they are, but I know those studies are out there. And I think they're even on the Before Be Gone site as well. And I have them, you know where I had them in one of the earlier modules, like the intro type modules, I had some of those studies quoted, and it might be even in the module 2 where we did the assessments, that I had them quoted in the slides, that I have actually links to those studies in the slides. So if you just open up the slides and just kind of scan through them, you should see them there too. Okay. Any other questions? Star two? No? Okay, you guys are going to get me off early tonight, eh? I don't mind. I don't mind. I have another call today with somebody in Australia, so I'll have a break. Okay, thank you. We'll look at them. Okay, great. All right. You guys are good? Okay, good. We have some questions. We have Christine again and Kalowa, BC, and I'm trying to remember who that is. Is that Barbara? Okay, we'll figure it out once we open it up. So, Christine.
So, I've been doing I do salads anyway, even though they kind of make me cold. one of the things also, I was just noticing over this, like, holiday from getting sick with cold or flu or whatever it was, that I kind of feel like not, like, I don't care about stuff.
Like, what do you mean you don't care about stuff? Like life or like foods?
Like life. And I was like, I've never felt this way before, but, you know, usually I'm kind of like bouncy and, you know.
Yeah.
I also sort of felt that way, kind of like, I don't know if it was just because I had a sort of a flu-y kind of thing, kind of like a cold over Thanksgiving, and then the day after Christmas, I got sick with this other cold, and then it took forever for it to go away.
Yeah.
In fact, it's really not completely away. But I didn't know if, like, people get like that when they don't feel well, and they're just, it's like a prolonged thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you could get a little bit of depression from just being like, I'm tired of being sick. That's one thing. Number two, when you're sick for a while, it's putting a lot of load on your system, and you mentioned the adrenals before. When the adrenals are burned out, they're overactive, actually. They'll be sucking away a lot of tyrosine because they use tyrosine. So tyrosine is important for making dopamine, and dopamine is the neurotransmitter that usually when people are saying, oh, I've lost my motivation, I've lost my pleasure for the things that I used to love, I just don't feel like doing anything, oftentimes it's a low dopamine situation. So it could be any of those things. And then if during the holidays you had some dietary indiscretions that, refined foods, et cetera, that might have zapped away some of your B vitamins, that could be doing it. So if you want like to try something, off the top of my head, what came to mind was there's an herb called macuna. And macuna is a precursor to dopamine. It's also really good as an adaptogen for the adrenals. And up your B vitamins and make sure you're getting enough protein, and because you need the tyrosine in there. And to see. And tyrosine is also important for the thyroid as well. It's the core of thyroid. So there's a lot of things. So there's a lot of things here pointing to maybe some tyrosine deficiency. So
okay.
Those are some of the things you might look at.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure. No problem. All right. So we have, okay, Kaloa. Is that Barbara in BC?
No. It's,
no.
No, it's
Who is it?
Jackie.
Jackie, I get you guys in Canada confused. I get my regions confused, I think. All right. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Kelowna is British Columbia.
British Columbia, okay.
Yeah, so West Coast.
Okay.
Anyway, hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I just have a couple of questions, and I think I'm confused on something. When you're testing for blood sugar and you test for different fruits or different foods, and that fruit raises your blood sugar above 110, you said don't eat fat with it because it will mask. It might keep your blood sugars low, but it will keep your insulin response higher, which will cause cell damage.
Right.
Will the same thing happen if I ate a cup of blueberries and it shot my blood sugar up to 115 or 118, and then I did the same thing and I ate it with lettuce or kale or something, would that mask it?
No,
the
no,
same
no,
way?
No. Because kale and lettuce won't raise your blood sugar, and they don't really. What they do is provide some nutrients and some extra fiber, the cellulose, that just slows down the absorption of the sugar into it. Whereas the fat will kind of coat the sugar and make it inaccessible, but the insulin response is still detecting it because the body's detecting it in the gut. Actually, there's some receptors in the gut and hormones and whatnot that pick up that there's sweet and start that process. So, no, lettuce is good. Lettuce or celery or some other highly mineralized
fiber.
Fiber. Yeah. Fiber is different than fat. Fat masks it and still get an insulin response. None of those foods that are high fiber are going to create an insulin response. Like kale, you know, very few people are going to have, or lettuce, right? I've not seen anybody whose blood sugar went up when they had lettuce.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that was good. And I have one more question.
Sure.
I started menopause in 2014. I'm going to be 57 next month.
Okay.
And in the summer, I was getting some hot flashes quite a bit. And as the fall came and I started eating more cooked foods, they actually disappeared. And now I'm eating quite a few raw foods again, like the majority of them raw foods, and I'm starting to get hot flashes again. Is there another correlation, or is that a possibility?
Yeah, here's what I think the possibility might be. When you're doing the raw, more raw, how much, like, cruciferous, like broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, are you eating?
A lot.
Raw?
A lot raw. Mm-hmm.
A lot raw, okay. And you're eating a lot cooked as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
I'm eating more raw than cooked right now.
Right, but are you eating like if you were to eat a certain amount of broccoli in a day when you're eating cooked, do you eat that same amount of broccoli when you eat it raw?
When I'm eating broccoli, I actually eat more raw than cooked.
Really? Wow. You're unusual.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that shot one theory out the window, but it gave me a different theory.
Okay.
Okay. So the first theory I had was that oftentimes, when we go from cooked to raw, we end up with more, when we're doing more raw vegetables, we're doing more of the lighter stuff, the lettuces, the cucumbers, the celery and stuff, and not quite as much, because I don't even find them very palatable raw, of broccoli and cauliflower. So personally, I don't eat as much. So that's what most people don't.
I'm the opposite.
You're the opposite.
I love the lettuces, but I need something that's going to fill me. So
okay.
I want the heavier ones.
And you eat them raw. Okay. So I was going to say that, and then that, you know, you're getting less DIM and I3C, which are components of the cruciferous, which help with the estrogen metabolism. So that's what I was theorizing. Now, it could be one of two things. One is that when they're raw, you're not extracting as much of that out because of the fibrous walls are so much heavier. So I'll give you one option to test that out in a second. And then number two, if you have some thyroid sensitivities and you go over the top on raw cruciferous, you might be dampening your thyroid effect, which would affect your reproductive hormones. Okay? So those are two possibilities. One thing I would say, if you want to do a lot of the raw, make sure that you do either ferment it, like make cabbage, you know, a coleslaw. Sauerkraut out of it, or what you do is so that it's more available to you before you eat the cruciferous vegetables raw, you put a little salt on them and you massage them to break down the cell walls and release the nutrients, and just see if there's a difference between any of those things.
Okay.
Okay.
I actually think I don't absorb. Well, I never used to think that, but I'm thinking that more and more because I don't think I produce enough hydrochloric acid. Like I have a little rosacea on my one cheek that's on my face, my upper set. and I eat like really clean and lower glycemic all the time.
Right.
And I started taking some betaine to help me with that, and I think that does help when I take it. But I think my absorption is not as good as it could be.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
That could very well be. Now here's the thing, if you just take the betaine, you're giving your body a crutch. So you can do that. Okay, and it's a good idea to do what's called an HCL challenge to determine the right amount for you, because if you don't take enough, it's not going to do any good. If you're on the edge, you might be running the risk of it hurting. But you really want to get your body to kick back in and do it and make it.
Right.
So I like to have people do bitters, which you can get herbal bitters. Gaia makes them. A lot of different brands make them. Herbalist and Alchemist. And you can take that between 5 and 15 minutes before your meal. But also make sure your zinc is good, that you have enough zinc, because zinc is an important nutrient for making HCL and for making digestive enzymes as well. So
okay.
Make sure your zinc status is good. You can buy a little bottle of Zinc Tally. It's a liquid zinc. A lot of different brands make it, just whichever you can get up in Canada. The Metagenics makes it, Thorn makes it, Biotics makes one, and Premier Research. They all make a little liquid zinc, and they teach you on there how to test your zinc status. So if you're low in zinc, your digestion isn't going to be working, your absorption isn't going to be working, so that's another possibility. So I do bitters and zinc, not necessarily together, but taking bitters, but also making sure that your zinc's sufficient so your body can make the HCL. And you can take the betaine for a while, but know that if you're taking the bitters and the zinc as well, just be really careful. And in any case, if you're counseling people to take it, you want to make sure that they're really, really careful and monitor. It's a really good excuse for conscious eating, right? It's a really good excuse for getting people to just slow down and observe how the food is affecting them. Because if you take too much betaine, you know what happens. You double over in burning pain, right?
Oh,
so there's
okay.
Something called the HCL challenge. Just go Google it and find a description of it. I give it in my the digestion module in NEPT. I give it in my grand digestion program. My version of it I give, because I'm a little bit more careful than the people that write it online. But you can find it and get a general idea. So it helps you determine how much of it you need. And you'll know that if you're doing the bitters and the zinc and you're taking the betaine, as you go further and further along, your body's going to be making more and more, and you're going to be able to back off on the
exercise. Awesome. Okay.
Okay?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're so welcome. All right. And we have Ted Davis, Wichita, Kansas. Now, if that's not a pseudonym, I don't know Ted Davis. So, hello.
Hi, this is Consuelo.
Oh, Consuelo, why do you show up as Ted Davis? I've never seen you show up that way before. Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. And yourself?
I'm good.
That's great. Well, I have a question.
Sure.
I have a client. Let me see, what am I doing here? I have an echo, but I think it's close because I'm close to my computer. Let me move. Is that better?
I'm not hearing it. Yeah, it sounds fine to me.
Okay. I think that's better. Now, I have a client that she can sleep, and she tried all kinds of things. That was before she came to see me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that she did have a gallbladder operation.
Okay.
And the doctor told her she is not diabetic, but yet I asked her what her readings were. And they are pretty high. It's like about 115.
Okay. And so pre-diabetic.
Right. And it's pretty constant. But one of her biggest problems, actually she has two, but one of the biggest, and she was kind of concerned, is that she could not sleep at all. And she tried all kinds of things from herbs, like teas and different sleeping tablets and dry melatonin, and she couldn't do it, and she cannot do it. She wakes up at 2 in the morning or sometimes at 3. And then she finally went to, somebody told her to go to a chiropractor, and this chiropractor told her that she had a tumor in her pineal gland. And that was one of the reasons that she couldn't sleep.
Did the X-ray her to find that, or did he do some imaging, or did he do a muscle testing to find that?
Muscle testing.
Okay.
And he recommended, I think it's called Cell Forte, Cell Forte. And it's called, let me see if I remember my writings here. IP-6 Inositol, INOSITOL.
Okay.
And what he told her that that will shrink her tumor. But what I was wondering, should I just tell her to go and see a doctor?
Yeah, okay. So I have a couple of comments here. We'll start with this. So, you know, sleep issues are complex, and when people have a lot of issues going on with sleep, a lot of things can play into it, you know, and she's taken a lot. She's taken melatonin, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things that people don't look at is adrenal, and it could be cortisols are spiking in the middle of the night. It could be spiking because she's having a hypoglycemic low, because she's have a sugar load at night. There's a number of reasons, a lot of reasons, and we go through that in the sleep module a lot. But and inositol is an awesome, it's not quite a B vitamin, but it's considered sometimes to be a B vitamin, and it does work well for a lot of people for sleep, so it could be a possibility. I'm going to just be opinionated here, okay? So
right.
I love that chiropractors are doing nutrition, and I love muscle testing, but I don't know how you could tell somebody. I think it's irresponsible to tell somebody you have a tumor by doing muscle testing. Okay? It may be true, and maybe he has some intuitive gift that allows him to see and sense what's going on for somebody, but I think it's irresponsible to tell somebody you have a tumor. I mean, I could see him saying, huh, there's some stuff going on, and it might be a tumor. Maybe you should go to see your doctor and get some imaging. But to say, you have a tumor, and then to say, take this supplement, I think is irresponsible. Because if you have a tumor, you need to know it's a tumor, and you need to see what other structures might be pressing upon, and you need to know what's going on. Not that I'm a big fan of surgeries and chemotherapy and other things that doctors do for tumors, but I think it's irresponsible to give somebody the impression, you have a tumor, we're going to have you take this thing, and I'm going to re-muscle test you, and then when the tumor goes away, I'll tell you. I wouldn't trust it. That's just my personal opinion. Right?
Right.
So I would say if she thinks what he's saying is true, and does she have other symptoms that might suggest it, just not sleeping is not usually just the only thing that would cause the pineal gland. If the pineal gland is a very tiny gland, and if there's a tumor on the pineal gland, there's going to be other things like pressure, and she may have some problem with eyesight. I mean, there's a number of other things. So you might encourage her that she should probably get imaging if she suspects that. But also it could be her adrenals, and inositol could certainly be good because it's helped a lot of people with sleep. So in this case, what I would do if I were in your situation, I would first of all become aware, like, what is inositol, how does it work, and what effects. I would also look up in Google, you know, look in a good medical textbook, what's the deal with a pineal tumor and how do they manifest, what other symptoms, and then I would be asking her, do you have this, and this, and some of the other things.
All right.
Right.
Okay.
And I would encourage her if she thinks this guy's right and there's a risk of a tumor, then she should have it checked. She should have an MRI or some kind of scan, an ultrasound done of the head to see. That's how I would handle it.
Okay. And you say acetol, is that the thing that I should look
at? Inositol, the IP6 inositol. INOSITOL.
Okay. Inositol. Okay. All right.
And did you say Cellfort was the name of the company that sells it? Is that what that Cellfort was? Let's look it up.
Oh, this product, he says it has to do with the GALECTIN.
Spell it again.
It's GALECTIN.
Galectin?
Yeah, and then it's, because he showed me the paper that he gave her.
Okay.
And then it has a -3. Galactin -3, and it says that should shrink her, tumor or, I think he used another word too. And then he said this particular cell for tail will help her in 3 or 4 months. But she said she's been on it for 2 months and she can still not sleep. And that's when she came to me, and I thought, I don't think that, I don't know. That's kind of a heavy.
It's a heavy thing to tell somebody. It's kind of a scary thing to tell somebody.
So what I'm trying to do is to encourage her to get into your program, you know, so she can enroll and all that with you.
Well, if she enrolls in Before Be Gone, and then you have a $100 coupon you can give her to $100 off.
She
enrolls,
you know,
and
that
you can guide her through it.
Okay. I think that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, because we covered the sleep. And, you know, she might have some issues with her. Is she overweight?
Yes.
Yeah. So she might have issues with her adrenals. She might have some digestive issues. And that's the thing. I like I said, I love that chiropractors are getting into nutrition, but a lot of times it's done in a vacuum. Like, oh, you can't sleep. Here, take this stuff. Right?
Right.
And we'll muscle test you to see if it is. And, oh, I don't know how they muscle test to say you have a tumor. I've muscle test people to see, oh, is this supplement good for you? Let's hold it up. Let's ask your body. Oh, no, your body's saying no. Let's do a different one. But you have to, I believe, you have to have the science and the understanding of how it works. And it's true. I mean, this inositol is a signaling module. I'm looking up some of the things related to a galectin 3 is a protein. And I'm not familiar with that one. My brain cells are not finding that information in my memory bank. That's why I'm looking it up.
Okay.
But, if she's doing it for 2 months and she's not getting help, there's apparently something else going on. Does she eat right before she goes to bed?
Yes. That's another thing when we were talking about that. You said, can you do lighter, you know, and before 6 o'clock would be better.
And that kind of thing could make a huge difference in the way people sleep. And does she have a stressful lifestyle? Does she have a lot of stress on her?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So checking her adrenals would be big time good. Yeah, it would be really, really a good thing. Because if her cortisol levels, if she's stressed out. Also, some people that wake up in the middle of the night, and if it's a cortisol issue, sometimes they've been abused as a child. Or they've been abused as an adult, right? They've been in an abusive situation. Or their home was broken into and they were robbed in the middle of the night, they don't feel safe. So their body stays on high alert and it shoots them into that mode, right? Mm-hmm. So it would be an issue of like, what has she tried? Does she take a hot bath in the evening? In Before Be Gone Sleep, and well, in this module too, there's a whole bunch of things that you can go through with her just step by step to see if she's doing all those things. And the first one is stop eating 3 hours before bedtime, no carbs first thing in the morning because it affects the levels of growth hormone and leptin in the evening, and that can affect sleep a lot. I would go through step by step. You know enough to do that, right? Go through the sleep module and just go through step by step by step all the different things that they can do to help their sleep and take her through it. Because sometimes people just, no, I'm doing that already, I did that, but they're not doing everything in conjunction. They're not bringing things into balance. So, yeah, if you can get her in the program, that would be great. And if you can't, then just take her through what you know.
Okay. I think what my best thing to do is go ahead and get her in the program. And I think I can. I talked to her a little bit about it, and she was kind of receptive. So next time I meet her, I think that's what I'm going to do.
Great.
It doesn't matter when she goes in, right? I mean,
well, she can come in. She's missed a couple of the calls, but she can start whenever she starts. And we just guide it through because I'll answer people's questions wherever they are. I mean, just because if we're in Module 3 and they have questions about Module 1, I'm still going to answer them. So, yeah, no problem.
Okay. So the phone calls, she can get in, like, the phone calls that I get in on, or do they have a different phone call?
They're different ones. These are for you guys as practitioners. Then there's also calls once a week for the Before Be Gone program for the people that are taking it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you should be getting notices of those because we automatically signed all of you guys up for it.
Right. Okay. I think that's what I'll do. I'm not going to try. I'm going to get her.
Okay, get her in, and then you guide her. You just kind of help her through.
In addition
to her coming to my calls. And she'll hear other people, and she'll realize she's not alone.
All right. Sounds great.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
See you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Thank you. Bye.
So I'm going to put her down. And what's next? Oops, we got a few more. You guys are not letting me go to sleep early after all, but that's fine. That's what I'm here for. All right, my little mouse isn't working, so I can't unclick. So we have Mia. Let's do Mia. Hi, Mia.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hi.
Hi. So my question is about the woman I signed up for the Before Be Gone program. Her name's Silvana.
Silvana.
She's very excited. She's very enthusiastic. Seems like she's having a little bit of resistance to buy the glucose meter, but I think I'll get around to get her to do that. But what I want to bring up is that she's having issues with anxiety and panic attacks.
Mm.
And I wonder if I should really start addressing that with her and how to start, you know, and because I'm just not sure if the blood sugar balancing and all the menu planning is going to be enough for her because she's having these issues that are interfering with her daily life.
Absolutely. So remember, there's five aspects, right? So the diet is one thing. We don't want to create more anxiety by giving her a diet that's really hard to follow. But remember stress, right? There's a whole bunch of stuff, and that will be our next module. So we just opened module two. Next week we'll open module three. But you've already got access to your stress piece. So I would take her through, you know, some of the things to calm her down and, yes, address it because it's big time. Like, is she sleeping? People with anxiety oftentimes don't sleep. So you got to make sure she's sleeping. And make, you know, teach her the heart map stuff or tapping or, you know, look at the emotional eating and look at all those resources I've given you in the sleep piece, I mean the stress piece and maybe the sleep piece too, and help her with those things before you focus too deeply on the diet because it may push her over the edge. If you know, if you've been working with her for a while, you may have an idea if she's got B vitamin imbalances. If she's also got digestive imbalances, she may not be absorbing protein, so she may not have the neurotransmitters to calm her down. You know, it could be a GABA thing. It could be there's so many things that could be related. It could be a serotonin deficiency. It could be a GABA deficiency. But B vitamins are a safe starting point because that could be helpful. And then looking at her protein intake and make sure that she's getting enough or absorbing enough. Right, because if she's not, then there's some amino acids that could be helpful to calm her down. You might look at things like, you know, kava or lemon balm or milky oats or some of those herbs that we have in the sleep section, which also help with anxiety because they're very calming herbs. Mm-hmm. So you may look at maybe having her have some lemon balm tea before she goes to bed or rubbing lavender on her feet. I mean, there's certain oils and stuff too that are simple that are very calming, and a lot of the things like I said that are good for sleep are also good for anxiety because they're calming. But like it could be a GABA thing, it could be dopamine, now serotonin, B vitamin, B6, 5-HTP. There's a bunch of stuff. So, but before you get into that, I would address it with the stuff that we teach in the blood sugar balancing because a lot of that stuff could calm her down.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it has to be addressed. Absolutely. She won't, you know, the blood sugar won't balance if she's all anxious. All
right. I'm anticipating that.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Very
yeah,
good.
And when you're working with somebody, you know, you can customize. Like, I go through it in a certain pace because I've got, you know, hundreds of people going through it. But if you're going through it with an individual, you say, you know what, before we really get too much into the food stuff, you know, I'm going to give you a few things, like the eating not too close to bed and, you know, some of the basic stuff. But let's work on the stress piece first because I think that's the really critical piece for you and help them to really incorporate some of these stress reduction techniques. HeartMath is amazing. There's actually a book HeartMath writes. It's called Transforming Anxiety. And it might be something
great.
You can read and then pass on to her.
Oh, great. She loves to read. Excellent.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Get her. Yeah. It's a little book. You can probably buy it on Amazon or you can go to heartmath.com and buy it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. All right. So who's next? We have an unknown person that says, guest and your area code 417 is where it starts. So if you're not Eleanor and you're not Maria and you're not Christine and you have your hand up, this is who I'm opening up right now. So, hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. Is this Bayari?
Bayari.
Oh, how yes, wonderful. No wonder it doesn't show up. You're way across the seas.
Hi.
Hi, so great to hear your voice again. It's been a long time.
I know, it's been a long journey. It's not over yet for me. So if I sound tired, don't be worried.
Well, it's 2 a.m. or something for you, right?
I know, yeah. I just finished my shift at 2 o'clock.
Wow.
So that is actually my question. So I don't know how to sort out my sleep to help my blood sugar because of my work shift. So at the moment I'm working 6:30 in the evening till 2 a.m. And I do that 3 nights a week in a row. And I know that my colleagues had hoped that for the other days I could just go to bed early, but it doesn't work for me. I find that to stay awake for my shifts, somehow my whole body clock is messed up, really.
So it's 3 days in a row that you do it, and then 4 days a row you either don't work or work different shift? Is that right?
I don't work.
You don't work?
Not
okay.
Natural.
So you probably that like, what do they call that, the day in between, they call it like the transition day, but there's another cute name for it. But that transition day is probably going to be screwed up, right?
Yeah.
But you want to use that transition day to get you into the mode where you can get 3 days good and then know that it's going to be messed up, but at least you'll get 3 days of good sleep. Now, when you come in for your shift, what's been your sleeping pattern? Are you sleeping during the day before you get there, or are you sleeping the night before? So 2 o'clock now, and you'll go home and go to bed and maybe get to bed by 3?
Well, luckily, at the moment, I work from home.
Oh, good.
But when I first came over here, I was I had to walk home. I won't go into all the details of it. I haven't actually moved into my own home at the moment. I'm staying at my mum's right now. So I'm working in my bedroom.
Okay, no, that's good. So you just have to walk like a very short distance. You go pee, and then you drop into bed. So you should be able to get into bed by 2:30, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
I do find that I finish my shift and I'm still quite awake. Like I'm tired, but I'm still kind of awake. I think the thing is for me, if I could follow my own body rhythm, I would actually go to bed early and I stop eating really early. Like I used to stop eating about 2 or 3 p.m. But I'm eating later to try and give me energy to get through my shift. And I think that's just throwing my whole body clock out. And I just can't seem to work it out.
Well, what about, okay, so you're going into work at 2 in the afternoon, right? No, 6 in the afternoon.
No, I'm starting work at 6:30 p.m.
So why can't you just have normal kind of meal thing, like have a meal at 5 or 6, you know, right before you start work? So that's like a normal dinner.
But that keeps me awake for hours.
But you've got 8 hours after that, though.
I mean,
you're not going to be able to get that. Will keep you awake until even after 2 o'clock in the.
I think what's keeping me awake and throwing it out is that my blood sugar is just affected by working this late, and I think it's probably like an ongoing thing in the week. Because I tested my blood sugar yesterday and it was high. Still late at night, and I think that might be what's going on. And
so, when are you sleeping, Bayari? What time do you go to sleep?
Well, usually I finish my shift night, and I'll try and go to bed straight after, but it might, you know, I might be flapping around for 20 minutes or something.
Yeah.
So, but then I can sleep in. I can sleep in here. So I'll sleep in during the next morning.
Till what, about 8, 9, 10, 11?
Yeah, I might wake up. I might wake up at 9, but I'll stay in bed.
Good.
I'm very
okay.
lucky. I'm very lucky. I can open the curtains if there is actually any sunlight, which you don't get a lot at the moment. I can open the curtains and get daylight on my face, and I'll just stay there. So I might not get up till like 11 or 12.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. So then, when you wake up, do you feel refreshed?
No.
No.
Not until I start walking around. Like I'll go for walks, and I mean, my life is kind of upside down at the moment, so that's, you know, that doesn't help, and I'm just dealing with that. But I think also I was worried for quite a while before I came to England about how I was going to manage this, because originally we didn't plan that I'd be doing these hours. We were hoping that I could swap with someone else and I'd be working in the day, but that didn't work out. But I was worried about it for quite a while because it was a big change for me. And it possibly
so, how long do you think anticipate this is like? There's no end in sight, right? This is like as long you're going to do this as long.
No,
as you
can. Well, we were hoping that in these next few months I could change, but it might. But right now, it's not looking too good. It might actually get worse. But I'd always said, there's a time difference coming up in March or April, and I said I'm not doing it because I'd work from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. and I just didn't want to do it. But we thought that I wouldn't have to, but right now I have to face the possibility that I might have to. But
okay, so
I'm not
here's the thing, right? You may have to. So this is a reality. This is the case of this is real. So you either find another job or you deal with it. And if you're going to deal with it, then we need to find how do you cope with it in the best way possible. So first of all, I would start with what can you find to be grateful about? And what you can be grateful about is, unfortunately, you live in England, so this may not be something to be grateful about. I was going to say that you get to be up and around in the daylight hours where other people have to work during the daylight hours. So when the weather does get more pleasant, you'll be able to go for a walk and, you know, enjoy the daylight, whereas otherwise you'd be at work. So that's that's a place to be grateful. And then it's a matter of shifting. It's not so bad at this point. Like the worst shift is that midnight to 6, because it's like you don't have really any life. Right. But with this, if you can just get yourself get yourself whatever it's going to take to help you feel more sleepy when you finish work. Right. Lavender on your feet. Certainly don't go on the computer. You're probably on the computer while you're working. You have to stop.
That's
the hard part because there's a transition. So even if you gave yourself an hour transition of getting into a warm bath, putting lavender on your feet, having a little cup of chamomile tea or something, and create some ritual around it. Take some melatonin. No harm in taking some melatonin. Take some, lemon balm or passion flower or some other kind of really calming, kind of sleepy time herbs, and then allow yourself to go to sleep. And then,
There's one thing I wanted to ask you. I obviously I've come from a place of loads of sunlight in Australia, and I was getting up really early. I was getting up like 5:15 in the morning for my job at that time. And I've come to England where it's like the worst time of year. It gets dark really early. So I looked up sad lamps and I looked up what people were writing about the symptoms of what they were feeling, and I thought, that explains a lot. So I could see that the change in daylight is probably So I thought, okay, so I'll buy a sad lamp that will make me feel better, and I'll tell myself it will make me feel better. But then I was trying to figure out, well, when am I going to turn it on? Because my day is like not really the proper hours that normal people are doing. So then I was I couldn't figure out when to use it.
Okay, good. So that's good, because what you want to look at is the reason for them working is really balancing the whole pineal gland and the melatonin cycle. So if you think about typically the best time to ensure that you get the most melatonin at night when you need it is to expose yourself to daylight before noon. Well, that's not going to be noon for you because of your hours. So if you want your melatonin to be peaking, like between 2:30 or 3 and, let's say, what's that plus 8? What's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11? So fine. So you want it to be peaking and up then. It's usually what we want it to be peaking is around 11. We want to start turning down and dimming the lights at 10 or 11 and then have the melatonin. So I would say backtrack it by about 3 or 4 hours, 5 hours. So the noon would be like 4 hours later for you because you're going to bed. So I would say like you could use it like probably towards right before your shift starts and the first hour or two of your shift, just to get that light in there would be the best time probably.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's really helpful.
Oh, good. Just doing the math. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
So much.
Tell us how it goes.
I will.
Yeah.
Goodbye for
bye-bye.
Now.
Hey, it's good to talk to you again. Bye-bye. All right. So I'm going to close by Ari, and I'm going to open up. We're back. We're looping back to Eleanor, then Maria, then Christine. So, hi, Eleanor.
Hello. I hope Bayari is still there. One of the things that my daughter has on her computer, if she's working on your computer, is she has this thing that converts the light on your computer, and I'm not going to tell you the right direction, from blue to red or red to blue or something, so that as, because she works at night too, so that as the night goes on, she's getting less of the light coming into her eyes that keeps you awake.
Yep.
Yes,
and you know, Lynn told me about this thing, and it basically, I have it on my computer, so it dims it, and all of a sudden I'm like, I get irritated because I'm still working away, and my computer's getting dimmer and dimmer, but it makes less of that bright light, so less of the issue with the pineal. And Lynn may be on and knows, I'm trying to find the little icon for it. Sunset, here we go. It's called Flux, F.LUX. Is that the one? That's the one I have anyway.
My daughter has it on hers, and she's trying to get me to do it, but I haven't, because I'm obviously sitting on the computer with you late at night. But I know that she said it does work for her.
Okay. Check it out. It was a free app by Ari, F.LUX, F.LUX. Just look it up and see if that makes a difference for you. And because you're on the computer and it will be dimming it and dimming it, you'll still be able to see everything. I'm seeing everything just fine now, but it's just not that really intensity of the bright light that you have during the day.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say that. So the reason why I raised my hand is the other day on the Be Far Be Gone, you said something that and I'm always trying to figure out how to. I'm working with someone whose blood sugar is high in the morning, and I knew about, you know, trying to get them to do that burst at 9 o'clock at night. But you also said that taking their chromium, instead of taking it three times, taking a fourth chromium at night will also help.
Yeah.
I've had that help
some people dramatically. And sometimes even if the one doesn't, like even having half their dose right before bed and the rest of it spread throughout the day, however. Yeah.
Okay, that was good, because somehow I never heard that before. And just wondering, is there anything else that would help with someone that seems to have the high blood pressure, high blood sugar in the morning?
Yeah, there could be, it could be related to the liver, because the liver is supposed to be regulating up and down throughout the night to just keep it steady. So you might look at some liver support.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and then, well, of course, the blood sugar, cortisol. I mean, you can compare it to their adrenals, although I don't see a complete correlation, but oftentimes when they're having that stress in the morning, high level of cortisol in the morning, that could cause it. So I think those are the main things I would look at, but I would look at overall at whatever other things might be out of balance that would create
right,
that.
Right.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, I've seen this, and this isn't the most common thing, but I've seen where people get too far and they completely remove all carbohydrates. Like people are on a ketogenic diet, and they're, you know, a lot of those ketogenic diets are mostly meat, a little bit of vegetables, and, you know, oil. They can go into too lower, they can actually, there's a rebound somehow, and I don't remember the mechanism exactly, but that where they end up with high fasting blood sugar because they've gone too low in carbohydrates and when they add some back in. And like I said, that generally doesn't happen on the diet that I've prescribed because even though people may not be eating fruit, they're eating tons of vegetables. But if they're not eating tons of vegetables and they're eating more in the way of, you know, meat and nuts and seeds and avocados and things that are high fat, that could be it too, and you may have to just introduce some more carbohydrates.
Carbohydrates, okay. And the other thing was that Lynn was nice enough to get me the website for the bar, but it doesn't seem to work. It's actually converting it whenever I use it.
What? Okay, here, I'm going to write it in. I'm going to get it because I think I did it the other day and it worked for me. So let me pull it up. Oops, where is it?
You going to put it in the chat?
I'm going to put it in the chat.
Okay.
All right, I just have to log back in to get it. And I put in B4. I should remember it, but here we go. Here. So this is the bars, and this is the box of bars. And try that one. And then if the other one is, you can get a 3-pack if you've never tried them before and just want to try a few. Most people buy the whole pack because our shipping rate on the individuals is almost the same as the whole box. So, oops, my chat just disappeared. Oh, I hope it didn't go away. I hope you saw that.
I did get. I'm trying to bring the box up right now while we're talking.
Yeah, it just bounced me out of the chat. I saw somebody else had gotten bounced out. I wonder if they had a problem. And this one's the 3-pack. Okay, good. Yeah.
Okay, and then just the conversation about the fats covering the sugars. So the sugars are the body's. So the masking is that the blood sugar doesn't go up,
mm-hmm.
but the insulin,
does. Yeah.
Okay. And how is it that so it's because the fats are coating it, but with vegetables, that's the piece I missed that part.
Well, the vegetables are just it's just slowing down the absorption. There's no coating it. It's all there, but because of the fiber, the cellulose in the vegetables, and all the minerals, fiber slows down the absorption of the sugar. So whereas the sugar might get in, say all the sugar from the blueberries got in 15 minutes when you just eat the blueberries, it may take 30 minutes if you eat it with the fiber, the cellulose. And also, what was the other piece of that? Oh, yeah, so they're loaded with minerals, too, which also helps to support the insulin receptor function.
And what about proteins? Does protein have the same effect as
protein has, and that, there's some studies in, can't remember which module it's in, but I know I have some studies on that in one of the modules. I have a lot of quotes to studies, and there was definitely one where they tested it with, like, potato by itself versus potato with steak, and the steak and potato, the glucose did not go up as much as the potato by itself, but the insulin went up more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it was having a similar type of effect as the fat.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Okay, yeah, the site hasn't opened yet, but it's trying to open up, so.
Really? Let me see.
Yeah.
If I click it. Goes right there to me, for me, immediately.
Story. It's going to infusionsoft.com, app, order forms, and then it's got a whole bunch of numbers and everything after it.
Yeah, but that's where you order it. Do you see it? I mean, it should say B4 boxes of 12 at the top, and then...
Do do it again.
And it is an Infusionsoft deal because it's – try copy-paste it into your browser instead of clicking it.
That's what I just did. I copy and pasted into my browser.
Interesting that this doesn't have our header on it. I wonder why.
Yeah. I don't want to hold everybody up. I'm trying to order them, and I can't figure out why I can't get through. Okay.
Get it?
No, no. No, but I don't want to hold everybody up. I'll just see if it pops through.
Huh. You know, the other thing you can do is, I think, copy link address. Let's see.
I'm going to try the pack now, see if I can get through with the pack.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting if it doesn't work. Somebody else just try clicking it and let me know if it goes through. I just put the bar pack thing up and see and let Eleanor know. It might be maybe there's a redirect thing. Let me see if I can give you the direct link. I don't know if this will work, but it might copy. It's a big, long link. That's why we shorten it. Try that. Okay, try that big funny looking link I just gave you. And see if it goes directly. All right. Looks like Lynn, as usual, has been putting up a lot of good links. Lab testing. Good. Lynn found the multi stick. So we were talking about the urine test for Christine. Go ahead, you can try that. Great. All right. So let me go back to see if there's any other hands or any other questions. Yeah, there are. So good luck with that. Let me know if that works.
Okay.
Sure. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, we've got Maria.
Hi, I'm back.
You're back. We went full circle, didn't we?
I know. So I have three questions. Two are quick. When you say no carbs in the morning, and you know, when I relate to the word carb, for me are actually simple carbohydrates. I don't consider actually vegetables much of carbohydrates.
No. Vegetables are totally fine.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. So
yeah,
we're on the
totally
same page
fine.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the carbs, you're talking more like the complex carbs or the simple carbs, right? I mean,
yeah.
Even if sweet potatoes, do you consider
potato
those
not
carbs
good,
in your language?
No. Yeah, sweet potato
okay,
would
so.
Be my carb, yeah. I would say the highest
okay, yeah,
you get
okay.
is like big bowl of steamed vegetables.
Yeah, and the fruits, the berries are no carbs. Everything else
yeah, and again,
pretty
it,
much.
It, depending on the person, a little half-cup serving would be fine, but not
sure.
much more than that, yeah.
Now, I'm just trying to understand the language because that's my language. So some
got
people
it.
Say no carbs, and I'm like, okay. All right, thanks.
Yes.
So the
that's
other
just
thing
for clarifying
is.
Clarifying that because, a lot of, like on Atkins, they'll have the, you have to keep it below like 50 grams during certain phase. That means you can't have very many vegetables either.
I know. That's crazy,
that's
actually.
Yeah, I know.
I know. It is. I mean, you know, I do a kind of a paleo with a zone kind of thing combined, and it works for me, you know, but it doesn't work for everybody.
Right.
Okay. So if I want to become, you know, more of an expert or as good maybe as you are, one day, as far as the stress, you know, you mentioned on the readings or video that there is stress courses. I mean, is there one specifically or two that you would recommend besides the material that you shared with us?
Well, for me, I really liked the HeartMath. I did a 5-day
okay.
training at HeartMath many years
okay.
ago, and I loved that. I mean, there's certainly meditation-type trainings. Tapping, you know, the target method. There's a lot of different methods. It depends on what you want to specialize in. But for HeartMath, I just love the stuff that HeartMath, that they do. Their training is wonderful.
Okay. I saw a book on that. Maybe I can start with that. Okay.
Start with
Sounds
the
good.
Transforming Stress book that they write. That's a good one. And I was, that
yeah,
was
yeah.
where I would start and then go to, like, the Freeze Framer one. That's a little bit more in-depth, and they have a lot of them, so you can learn a lot from the books. There's nothing like the experience of doing it, obviously, but it's expensive to do. But it
right.
because you get to live it, and as a prereq for going out to the course, I had to do a 4-week training with a practitioner that did it, that was already trained, so I knew what it was going to
okay.
be like. And then I went into it, and boy, that just skyrocketed, because I had been trying to learn it on my own. Of course, I didn't have somebody teaching it online like I'm doing now, so that makes it easier. But yeah, it's just a lot of the little nuances and knowing how to do it. It's pretty cool.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so the third question is a little bit more complex, but you know, I might be starting here with my first male client. You know, I'm kind of new to this, and I'm getting my clients slowly here. And this guy is a type A kind of guy and doesn't really need to lose a lot of weight or anything like that, but he's got an extremely stressful lifestyle, you know, from marriage to work. I mean, everything is kind of very stressful. And, you know, his triglycerides to HDL ratio is about over 4.
Oh,
so it's really bad. He's got a you know, HDL of 53, triglycerides of 232.
Ouch.
His glucose is it's not terrible. It's 100, you know, but it's not the best, you know. And his A1C is 5.5. So,
so he's insulin resistant. So, he's right at the start of his insulin resistance, like true insulin resistance. Yeah.
Yeah, so I educated, he's open to a lot of things, but the issue here is not the issue, right? I think he's a very open-minded kind of guy. I can see that once I tell him something and he's really starting to believe. I just had a second meeting today with him. But what you recommend, I think also the chances are that he's going to work out on a personal training level with me are very high as well, because I do that, you know, plus the nutrition and other things, but I know for a guy, exercise is important, you know, and I think that we'll be dealing a lot with that. But from your experience, you know, what would you recommend, you know, on the stress? I have a lot of tools that you're applying, but they are most applicable to women. Women are more receptive, you know, to those things than a guy that is here and there and everywhere. Do you have any success stories with that kind of man that thinks that, you know, would be best to start?
Boy, that's a good one. I mean, there's other things besides the soft kinds of stress stuff that
right.
can help people, you know, so doing fun things, right, can be very good.
Yeah.
Like creating, what is it that you find fun, going for walks or hikes, you know, as long as he's not overdoing it and creating a stress situation. You know, one of the things is that men like and that can reduce stress is sex. So it'd be, you know,
well,
sex and intimate relationships and cuddling, you know?
Yeah, that's a part of a huge problem from him. His marriage is really falling apart.
Oh,
he's now not sleeping
stress.
With the wife. So, you know, it's chaotic. So the wife thing, and he's cooking his own thing. He's trying his best, you know. The wife right now, from his version, is totally useless, you know, creates more stress to his life, from what I could tell, than anything else. I got to, you know, I can accept
that
to divorce, you know.
That might be his answer, right, that he needs to get out of that situation. But, you know, with the heart mat, though, because you can teach it, like guys like things that are quick and efficient. And you say, look, if you learn how to do this, you can shift yourself in 2 minutes or less. And let me teach you this. And then you just guide him through it and find out, like, what is really fun for him, or you know, was there a specific special place? And just do a guided meditation there, a guided heart math there. And then have him learn to do it and shift in just a couple of minutes. And they like that. Like, going to a yoga class or going to a meditation class or having to sit for an hour and not do anything is, like, way... That's hard. But the heart math is real easy. It's real easy. And it was developed by guys. I mean, a lot of the heart math people, and it's very scientific. So it's very well researched that way. So, yeah.
Okay, so I'll try that way, yeah. Yeah, we talked about already fun things and things like that. Actually, hiking is one of his favorite things. And, you know, I actually organize hikes, so he might be joining mine. I organize just to get people out and about, you know, and also it's my outlet. You know, every 2 weeks I do that for myself and people join. But, I'll go through that. I just wonder if you had any more, you know, additional experiences to share. But I think it will be a good challenge, I think.
Yeah, and you get him exercising and moving and getting his mind off of things. Because it's a lot of it is getting them out of their left brain. It's just like the left brain is just go blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, so let's see if we have any other hands up. I think we're good on that. And then I'm going to go to a few questions that have been typed in. Jesse says, what is your opinion on natural lithium orotate? You know, I don't have any very specific. I've seen people do really well. It's very low dose. It's not like taking lithium that they'll use for manic depression and all. Very low dose and can be very safe. And low levels of lithium can actually contribute to B12 deficiency. Like the body just isn't able to bring up the B12 levels when there's a lithium deficiency. So it's certainly something that that can be helpful for certain people in certain situations. Let's see. Okay, so Bayari, I had trouble getting strips versus expensive in U.S., even U.K., Amazon. I managed to buy in U.K. True Results Meter. What's the question? It looks like you had a statement. Okay, question. I couldn't get True Results from U.S. or strips that wouldn't. Because they wouldn't send to UK. Is there any way I could ask anyone that can order True Results strips through you or anyone in RSPT? You know, if you can arrange for somebody to do that, I don't know how bad the customs are. Like, you know, it may get across there and then they say, oh, you're going to have to pay duty on this. So certainly if you want to hook up with somebody, I couldn't do it because we just don't have the cycles. I just don't have the timer cycles to be able to do that kind of thing. But certainly, if you're, you know, check on the Facebook group and hook up and see if anybody's willing to do that for you. And, oh, wow, she says she has a free light meter and strips, and they only need a tiny amount of blood compared to True Results, but 25 pounds for 50 test strips. So that's about, 25 pounds is probably close to $50, isn't it, like $40? So that's almost $1 a strip. That's a lot. Lori, is there a relationship between ringworm and high sugar? My son is having a hard time with it this winter. It got worse after drinking wine. You know, any kind of infection type of disease, ringworm is a fungal infection, and any kind of infectious disease has to do with the immune system. And when we eat sugar, it depresses the immune system. I mean, studies have shown that the white blood cells, the leukocytes that fight infection, they will go down, the macrophages actually, will go down huge amounts, like 50% after a couple of teaspoons of sugar, and they'll stay depressed for a long time. So absolutely, sugar can have that effect. And Ajneera has a long one. Okay, let's see. Although I totally respect and believe in what you've created, I think it's realistic to expect people to accept that they will no longer be able to routinely enjoy a plethora of fresh, healthy food that would raise their blood sugar above 110 ever. Isn't the idea of healing insulin resistance that you will be able to tolerate more than before? Yes, absolutely. And the things that used to make your sugar go above 110 won't. And that's the thing we're getting to. You're saying that once we're educated to the evils of insulin, that we should aspire to no longer enjoy a bowl of fruit or drink fresh juice that is teeming with nutrients but raises blood sugar to 140, for example, without becoming paranoid that we're causing damage. Yeah, so the point is that I always tell people, I want you to eat as much fresh fruit as your body tolerates. And if we do put all these things into place, then we get the nutrients right and we are sleeping and we're de-stressing, that sugar won't raise, the fruit won't raise the blood sugar. And if it does, then we go through this metabolic phase. And at the end of the metabolic healing reset that we're doing, what we're going to be doing is that we're adding back in. We're going to slowly add back in and looking at what those other pieces are. The truth of the matter is, when the blood sugar goes above 120 or 140, we are causing damage. Now, if it happens occasionally, it's not a big deal, right? A little bit of peripheral nerve damage. But if it happens every day, we are going to have problems. So it's a matter of teaching people to eat within that realm. And it's not, I'm not saying any stretch that people should never eat that food. It's just learning how to do it. So, for example, you want to have some mangoes, and if you eat it with lettuce, it works better, keeps your blood sugar down lower. I'm not talking about going to a bakery and eating a layer cake with butterfree and coffee. 30 days, okay, but forever. And people that have just, yeah, so in, it should not be forever. Now, some people, it takes longer because they've got a lot of extra weight, because they're not consistent, because they've got the genetic tendency, because they're not sleeping, because they're under stress, because they're not exercising, and people think that all I have to do is the food. Like a lot of people, even though I'll explain this five components, they'll say, but I'm doing the food. I'm doing it perfectly, and I'm not getting the results. My blood sugar is still high. Well, are you sleeping? Are you de-stressing? How's your timing? So my experience has been that after the 30-day reset, and for some people, even right after the 30-day reset, they'll start to introduce things, and they go, oh, the blueberries didn't raise my sugar anymore. Good, I'm back on those. Oh, these are still raising my sugar. What do I have to do to be able to get to the point where I can do it? We don't want people to get to the point where they can sit down and eat chocolate cake and not raise their blood sugar. Although if they were perfectly healthy from, you know, the time they were born on, they never went through the typical crap that we all ate when we were kids. And if you didn't, I apologize for assuming you did, but most of us grew up on the standard American diet, and we ate a bunch of crap, and we ruined our whole blood sugar balancing system. But if you take somebody who's never been through that, and they have good genetics, and they're sleeping, and they're exercising, they probably could eat the chocolate cake and the cookies and pure sugar. In fact, some of the people that took the glucose tolerance test actually never went above 100, even on 100 grams of glucose syrup. So yeah, I totally agree with you. I don't want people to live with paranoia, because that's stress. That's stress. Nobody wants to live with paranoia. You want to be able to help them to choose and limit for a time while they're on this program, just like a detox program, liver detox, gut cleanse. You do it for a while until they get back. For some people, it's 30 days. They do a 30-day, you know, leaky gut repair, and they're good to go, as long as they don't go back to eating the bad things that they were doing before. They're healed. For some people, have to do it for a year. Depends on where they're coming from. So yeah, if they've achieved detoxification, adrenal balance, a healthy gut, optimal weight, most likely the eating fruit is not going to put it above 110. So if you've misunderstood what I'm saying, that people should always have to live this way, no, not at all. But in divine intelligence, right? We do have divine intelligence, but in that, yeah, their blood sugar is not going to go up. Their blood sugar is just not going to go up, because that's just the natural way it goes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that's the deal. The whole point is to get to the point where those things don't raise your sugar anymore. And it happens. I've seen it happen with myself. And I know that when I do follow all the rules and sleep and de-stress and work out, I can eat things that I can't eat when I'm not taking care of myself. Sorry if you misunderstood, or if I was not clear. Okay, so, Tony, would tingling in the feet be a result of high blood sugar? Well, it could be. I mean, tingling in the feet could be a result of a bunch of things, but peripheral neuropathies could cause tingling and pain and paresthesia, which is like numbness in the feet. Yep, it could be. But it could be other things. It could be a B12 deficiency. It could be a nerve impingement. It could be something going on in their lower back. Okay, let's see. I have no more hands raised. Last chance, last call, right? As they say in the bars, last call. Star 2. And then as we go to Q&A, I'll refresh it, and then I'll refresh the chat. So interesting. Some people are saying those linked work, and some people are saying they didn't. Most people say they worked. Vanessa didn't. Huh. I don't know. All right. So if any other questions, type them in. And no more hands, no more questions. So I'm going to open up the line so I can say goodbye to everybody, and you can all say goodbye to each other. Have a great rest of the evening and night. Get some sleep. Let's get some sleep, and take care and have a great one. Bye-bye now.
All right.
Bye. Goodbye, everyone. Bye. Bye.